Anybody else want to comment on... first, I have an announcement, too. Any vets that are going to Canada, please go to the vets' room to eat now. Any more comments about MedCap?
Yeah. Well, the Air Force also has a program, MedCap, and I participated, I think, a half dozen times in this program. It wasn't an officially sanctioned thing, but it was something that the people in our dispensary got together. The only supply, I can back the doctor up on this, like, the only supplies we were ever allowed to use were the medicines that were outdated and the supplies for which we had no use, things which had been sitting in Connex's, which is our large steel storage boxes since World War II. And, like, there was no way that you could guarantee there was any kind of sterility, that any kind of these drugs were any... would serve any purpose at all. We had no means the majority of the time to check out whether the people that we were treating were allergic to any of these drugs, and yet they were still given. They were given on a one-time basis, which doesn't... you can't treat some of these diseases on a one-time basis. You give people pills for 2 or 3 days and it's not effective at all. We had patients come into our, with the Vietnamese dispensary where we worked. The, by the way, the Vietnamese doctors, there was only one or two in the province that would work with us. The rest of them refused.
Where was it?
At Da Nang.
That's one of the largest hospitals in Vietnamese hospitals in the country.
And, what would happen would be the patients would come through and they would get their pills and they'd go back into the lines. And the Vietnamese interpreter, which we had, was supposed to go in through and make sure that these people didn't come back for additional dosages of their medicine. And on occasion, people would be removed from the MedCap line because the Vietnamese doctor said they were, or the interpreter rather, said that they were either VC sympathizers or they didn't need treatment or something like this. And we had no way to verify whether they needed treatment or not because none of us spoke Vietnamese. And like the whole thing was really phony. I mean, it didn't serve any purpose at all except for propaganda.
Well, when I was in Vietnam, they had both a polio epidemic at one point and a cholera epidemic, which was very severe. Were there any immunization programs, any of you in MedCap immunization programs? Joe, did they do it?
No, there were no immunization programs. There was no organized preventive mental health program that had any central authority. Everything was on a village basis. Was an attempt to put a jeep with some kind of personnel into the village. There was no preventive medicine or vaccination programs to my knowledge.
The way our MedCap program worked is we never hit the same village twice, so I don't think there could have been.
That was my experience, too. As a matter of fact, the program was to hit as many different villages as possible and not to hit the same village again and again. Evidently, the impact, the propaganda impact, could be best utilized by hitting a village once and then moving on to another village.
Why did they do that? I don't understand what's...
I don't understand it either.
Didn't you just say that they had some kind of... you had given a list or something?
No, the only list was the list kept by the interpreter. The interpreter would make a list of names in a large book, a ledger, that would be submitted to the command when we returned from the village. And I was led to believe that at the end of the month, the names registered in this book would be submitted to a higher command as some indication of our pacification work in that area. Whether the villager was treated or not, the mere fact that he had come up to the jeep and sought treatment allowed us to enter his name in the ledger. He then became recipient to American military medicine.
Well, all we did was we just kept numbers. We didn't even keep a book, and the numbers were brought back to the dispensary and given to the hospital commander.
What would you say, Joe, is the overall effect of MedCap as far as pacification or meeting the needs of the people?
The few conversations that I was able to have with Vietnamese nurses who provided provided interpretation for us was that the program had very little effect on community health. Actually, it's my belief that the program had a deleterious effect because it usually would preclude the possibility of the village people going to the province hospital or some central diagnostic facility where a clear-cut indication for treatment could be obtained. Once the military physician had seen them and done anything, even if it involved the saying of a few words or the giving of an aspirin, the primitive Vietnamese would think that he had received treatment, that he had received the best the earth could offer, and after that he wouldn't avail himself of any further help. So I would say that overall the program was detrimental to the to the community health, to the village health.
John, another reason here, I just thought of this, was the use of Vietnamese interpreters to help you make a diagnosis. Often a Vietnamese would come up and say something to the interpreter and point to his stomach, and you'd get back from the interpreter, stomach ache. And that would be your only basis for making a decision on what kind of medication or anything. I mean, there's a million things that can be wrong with the stomach, and you had to go on that judgment. And you couldn't say to the Vietnamese, you'll be all right. You had to give them something, even if it was just an aspirin or something, because they expected this from the Americans. And I got to a point where I was... When I couldn't make a positive diagnosis on something, I'd give a shot of worm medicine. So I figured I wasn't doing any harm, and I might be doing a little good because most of them, especially the children, had worms. So they wouldn't feel slighted anyway. But many times I couldn't in conscience give them something that might, especially an antibiotic, that might harm them. So I gave them worm medicine.
John? Insofar as medical coverage for Vietnamese in Saigon, Third Field Hospital, this was the only hospital in the Republic that the nurses wore whites. We had our hospital set up in a what was an ex-school, and it was all
Madame News School, if I recall.
Huh?
Madam News, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was altered many times over to affect a hospital type of thing, and the hospital itself was good. It was a very sterile place, and the type of treatment that was dished out there was of top-notch variety. I cannot fault the hospital in that regard. But in our triage area, when we got, this was just standard operating procedure, SOP to those of you who know the Army lingo. When we get people in, and like we used to get
WBAR Arvins, New York.
We used to get VC, sometimes VC prisoners. We got our own people. We got civilians. If they were brought in by our ambulances to the triage area, the standing order was that if he was in such rough shape that he might die on the moment, you stuck a bottle of D5W glucose water in his arm, and I think this fellow here next to me is shaking his head in agreement probably that was the same thing there. You use a plasma expander or something so that then they could be taken to the Arvin hospitals. And the standard word for the civilians was they go to Cho Ray Hospital. I was in Cho Ray Hospital, and I know why they didn't want to go there. The beds had two and three people to the beds.
We have a picture if you want. Can you show the slide?
The beds were full of cockroaches.
I don't know if it'll... You need to pull the screen up. Why don't you keep talking? This is a typical Vietnamese hospital.
Whatever care these people got in Cho Ray was mostly what their family dished out to them, because they would have the family stay with them. They were very short-handed. After all, this is a backward country. We all know that. And the number of trained people there, the number of trained personnel is limited. And even when the facilities were available within our hospital, that was the standing order. And I know this because I live there daily.
It's a hospital in Bami Tuit, but almost every province hospital looks this way. Some are worse, more crowded.
The one at Da Nang was a lot worse.
And the one at Cho Ray was a lot worse also. In contrast to this, I'd like to go on to say that, where it concerned Vietnamese officials, we took care of the Prime Minister and his family.
That's right. We don't need the second slide. Why don't we just turn the lights on?
And anybody who had any position or any authority within the Vietnamese government, this kind of thing, you'd know they were there because there was a dozen cars. There was all kind of personnel to protect these people, and we actively treated these people. This was a time when you would finally see my commanding officer, who I would prefer to leave nameless. This man was an internist. He was a full qualified internist, but he never practiced a day of medicine that I was there. His rounds consisted of glad handing all the VIPs that happened to be in the hospital at any one particular time. Within the family of the hospital itself, I remember one occasion in which one of my techs I overheard talking to a girl who worked within the hospital for the hospital cleaning, and I heard him say something about me, and he said, "Well, you know, why don't you talk to the doc? He's a pretty straight guy. Maybe he'll do something for you." And I learned that this girl's brother was ill, and this girl lived out in the alley, and after all, she did work for us, and this kind of made her part of the family. And you would have thought that at least maybe these people would be treated. I went out to the alley with this girl later on to her family's home, and I determined that this is a five-year-old boy who had pneumonia. And I went back and I asked if he could be brought in, and I was flat out told no. Thereafter, I asked if I could have the medication to go out and treat him, and I was again told no. So I stole the penicillin and went and treated him anyway.
We're going to have to get on. The day before, there was a weapons panel here, and there was an expert from the American Friends Service Committee who discussed what he called the automatic or computer-run battlefield. He showed a number of very sophisticated, what we call anti-personnel weapons, which are to be used in this automated battlefield, which is incidentally one of the reasons why we can cut down our troop numbers in Vietnam, because some of these weapons can kill everything within a 60-yard radius, everything. It was a surprise to me that they are actually in use there now. I learned in discussing with some of the people here. Mike, you had a little personal experience with one. Maybe Joe can tell you his personal experience with it, with what these things can do.
We were hit by our own artillery fire with one of these rounds, or rather three of the rounds. What happened, we were on a on a hill, and we had ambush sites out around the hill. And somehow, either through our own error or through a computer error, we were fired on. We received three 105 rounds right over us, and then the next three was this anti-personnel type round, 105, so that when it hits, it explodes and the inside the canister are small, they look something like a hardball, only a little bit smaller. And these things explode, and I believe there are about six or eight of these in a 105 round. And they explode out, and then they can be set for different times. The ones that hit us exploded about a minute after it landed. We didn't know that this round was being used either until we got we took shrapnel from it. Everybody up on the hill took shrapnel with us, and these can be set from a minute, and I understand they can be set up into an hours and days also when they actually go off. But that was my personal experience. I never treated a Vietnamese with that type of wound, though. It's a regular shrapnel type wound, though.
Joe, you've seen what they do. What do they do?
Well, I didn't exactly see the weapon, but I had to police the remains of a command post that was hit with an anti-personnel bomb. Was our command post, unfortunately, that received an 800-pound anti-personnel bomb one evening, and 30 members of the command post were killed, and the parts and remains of the bodies had to be policed, and the damage done is considerable. There were no survivors. Bodies were devastated and destroyed, some beyond recognition.
I don't remember exactly what the dates were, but in 1969, whether through sabotage or error or what, the bomb dump at Da Nang Air Base blew up. It was a Marine bomb dump. And there was a village that was right adjacent to the bomb dump. And I was assigned as a medic to the demolition team that was there defusing the bombs and things like that. And there were literally thousands of what these things that Mike were describing, guava bombs, with we have like a concrete outer shell filled with high explosives inside, and the timed ones and things like this. And as I understand it from talking to friends of mine that were working at the 1st Medical Battalion, which was near Freedom Hill at Da Nang, they treated many of the people in the village for shrapnel wounds which were received from these type of bombs. They were dropped, they flew out of the bomb dump and landed in the village.
I guess all of you have seen what happens with napalm. Anybody want to describe what happens or what you've experienced with our use of napalm as to kill VC? Anybody? What does napalm do and what have you seen?
In Dung Ha, located about 18 miles south of the militarized zone. They have a children's hospital. It's all Vietnamese children. Mainly, they're all civilians. They had a lot of children in there for treatment of diseases, of different things they acquired. A lot of general treatment, but there was one specific children I saw, and I asked the doctor what had happened to him, and he said he'd been hit by napalm. His face, from his right eye, around the back of his head, he had no ear. On down, the middle of his chest, was like one big massive scar that had just grown together. He'd been treated, but like there's not a whole lot they could do for him. And like there's several of these cases, you know, like I'm sure these people could tell you. You've probably been hearing a lot about them anyway.
Who else saw it? Anybody else see napalm stuff?
I saw the effects a couple of times of people. One I distinctly remember was a lady that I used to see out in the yard in between two other wards, and this lady had been burned beyond recognition facial-wise. She had no face. She had a pair of eyes left, and they had somehow or another grafted some skin over the front of her head, and she had some sort of an orifice left that she could take food through, but that's about it. And she'd been the victim of a napalm.
On our trips to the Da Nang Provincial Hospital and to the other hospitals in the city, when we took our Vietnamese patients down there, I can't say that there were a great many, but I do recall seeing several dozen over the period of a year who were men, women, and mostly women and children who had been hit by napalm and were in essentially the same condition as has been described, like they were scar tissues, and these people were like kids with arms that were grafted to their sides because they had no skin left on the inner part of their arm. Kids that were like 2 and 3 and 4 years old that would never be able to lead a normal life because the scar tissue had been allowed to build up. There was no physical therapy program. I believe the only one that is in Vietnam is run by the American Friends Committee in Quang Nai. And they don't have the facilities to treat but very small percentage of these people. But there were a fairly large number, several dozen that I saw at Da Nang that had been burned by napalm.
In terms of, I have a short anecdote about napalm. I had a debate with a representative of Dow Chemical Company who told me that most of these burn injuries were due to the fact that the Vietnamese were using gas stoves and they were blowing up. Vietnamese use charcoal.
Right.
How about white phosphorus? White phosphorus, I might add, is generally used for marking positions. It's absolutely against the Geneva Accords to use white phosphorus for military purposes. Did we?
Before we have any testimony concerning that, I think it's worth adding that white phosphorus is not something that when it hits you, you can put out. You got to carve it out because it'll burn its way straight through anything, especially if you're speaking in terms of humans, it burns through anything, flesh, bones, till it gets to the other side and falls out.
There's only one way you can even temporarily stop it, and that's to smother it, and you can't keep something smothered for a complete amount, you know, for an extended amount of time.
Why, because it reignites?
It just continues to keep burning unless it is kept away from air.
Right, it ignites with air.
Have you seen any white phosphorus injuries with this? Anybody?
I had seen several patients who supposedly had been burned. I saw him in the Naval Hospital who had been burned by something that we were told was white phosphorus or Willie Peter. I can't say for certain whether these patients were, but this is the only kind of wound. It chars its way through. And as I understand it, the Marines in our area would use what's called a pop-up flare, which is a handheld flare that to shoot up into the air and fire it at Vietnamese. I do know that these patients did come in and were treated for this after they had been burned.
We, in our battalion, when we were in Bao Lac, which is in Lam Dong province, the mortar platoon used white phosphorus as with their HE rounds. And the officers and platoon leaders were issued white phosphorus grenades. And they were used not as markers, but they were used during firefights or to use in a village to either scare out people or burn it down.
Okay. Next thing is gas. This is also against the rules of set down in The Hague and Geneva, Nuremberg trials. we used a combination of gases there. CSCN and I think DM. These are a nauseant, a mucus irritant, and a tearing gas, a lacrimating agent. I know we used these because I saw them used. On Christmas Day in 1964, we were attempting to recapture eight Americans somewhere in the area of Tainan. We were attempting to recapture Americans who had been captured by the Vietnamese. And what they were going to do is blanket a large area near the Black Virgin Mountain to where they thought these prisoners were. They mixed this gas on a soccer field which was adjacent to an airfield on one side and the hospital for Tainan on the other side. When they were mixed them in, they had large drums, and they would mix them and they would put them in a rocket pod of an armed helicopter. While they were mixing them, a helicopter landed improperly behind the area they were mixing, and there was a large cloud of gas which settled over the entire city of Tainan, including us. That included over the hospital. Now, these gases are said not to be lethal. Unfortunately, they are lethal if you have pulmonary disease. If you happen to get nauseated and vomit when you've had abdominal surgery, it can be pretty serious. And if you happen to have an open wound with a nerve, you know, exposed, it will cause direct nerve damage. Anyway, this whole hospital was covered with this gas, which poured down all over the area. Anybody else seen effects of this non-lethal gas? Joe, you hadn't you?
My only recollection is doesn't include observation of the use of the gas, but recall four or five prisoners of war who were dying in the Tuiwa General Hospital, one of our general hospitals, of pulmonary edema. The nurses there informed members of our brigade that they had been in tunnels and gassed. They did have pulmonary edema, from my observations at least, and according to the physicians who were attending them.
Mike, you saw a gas use, didn't you? Did they use gas?
No.
Somebody in here say they're using
somebody, something I can go along with, it's a chemical. I don't even know exactly what chemical was used. I just saw what had happened to children in this Dung Ha Children's Hospital from various use of chemicals and a lot of the other things you people have been seeing the last few days. Gas possibly could have been the cause of these things. I'm not really sure, but it was transacted from childbirth, and there was a whole ward. It was about 12 kids, little kids who'd been born deformed through causes of gas, chemicals, whatever agents were used, you know, in the country by the United States, but these kids were deformed. One kid's feet was turned around, and he was walking on the joints of his ankles. His elbows were also inverted, his hands were backwards. There's people born with various deformities that you could go on, you know, in excess about.
My guess is you're talking about defoliating agents. There are three versions.
Couldn't exactly say what chemical or what defoliants caused it, but it was.
Was there a scenario where they were defoliating? I don't know.
They defoliate just about the whole, you know, portions all over the whole country, so you can't designate a specific area.
Well,
at least in this place, I couldn't.
I'm sure many of you were here, but Agent Orange, which is sometimes called 245T, is known to be teratogenic or cause birth defects in a number of experimental animals. We have dropped, supposedly now, it's outlawed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it has supposedly been, we have stopped using it in Vietnam. However, the Vietnamese are reportedly still using it. We have dropped 40 million pounds of this agent on Vietnam.
I think
My understanding is the way a mother would come in contact with this. These Vietnamese people get their most of their drinking water is rainwater. They keep barrels. They have a barrel outside of their house, and they have like a catch basin on top of the house, and the water runs down into the barrel. These women, everyone drinks out of this water. And a woman can contract, if she drinks about a quart of this water, will cause damage to a child, which, while she's in pregnancy.
That's right. We saw some pictures yesterday. Why don't we, because of the time,